Welcome to Exceedingly Abundant Ministries with Pastor Gary Cole. We are committed to bringing you the good news of the gospel, believing that God wants to make Christians whole in spirit, soul, and body. Visit our website at eaministries.net. Now, here is Pastor Gary with today's teaching.
Well, good day. Again, we're in 2012. Doesn't that seem amazing? It still amazes me. You know, this is going to be a year of a lot of challenges, not only in the secular world, but in the religious world. We're hearing that God is going to be doing a lot of things, and we need to be prepared, and we need to be strong in the Lord. And that's what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about how to be strong in the Lord. There's going to be a lot of spiritual warfare going on in this 2012, a lot of people will be getting very desperate, and we need to be strengthened, we need to be strong, and be able to tell them about Jesus and be prepared to minister to them effectively the Word of God. Amen? So we'll begin today in Ephesians chapter 10, 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then it goes on to describe the armor. Well, we're not going to so much look at the armor today, although I would encourage you, every day put on the whole armor of God. Every piece is a picture of Jesus, who He is, and His provision for your life. And it's just awesome. But we're going to look at verse 10 especially. I want to read it out of the Amplified. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. I really like that. And now we're going to talk about seven things that are important to have in your life that you might be strong in the Lord. Number one, our union with Him. I want to continue to remind you, salvation is not a certificate. Salvation is a personal relationship with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except through me. That's right. No one knows God the Father except through His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember, a person who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, is dead in trespasses and sins. We were born with a fallen Adamic nature. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. And the truth is that Jesus has provided salvation so that our sins can be forgiven, we can have the gift of eternal life, and this dead spirit man within us becomes alive, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in our spirit. We're regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and we become children of God. In other words, we have begun a love relationship with God. And the Bible says, Jesus says, we are to continue in that union with Him. That's the Christian life. In fact, let's go over here and just show you that it's from the Word of God. In the book of John, chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, that's Jesus. Ye are the branches, those are the people who have gotten saved. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. See, when you receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, you've met him. You've received him into your heart as your personal Savior and Lord. And now you can get to know him. And he, through his word and by the Holy Spirit, will begin to reveal to you God's will and purpose and plan for your life. You can have fellowship and intimacy with God through his son Jesus. That is so exciting. It's a love relationship. It must be cultivated. You have to spend time with the Lord to get to know him more intimately every day. But who wouldn't want to know God? He is the perfect lover. He knows all about us. He loves us anyway. And he's allowed us to become his children through his son Jesus Christ. Amen. So we realize if you're going to be strong, you must maintain, walk in that intimate love relationship with Jesus. And as you do, as Jesus said, you will then bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. So everything comes out of that union with him that began when you repented of your sins and received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, you may be saying, well, I've never asked Jesus into my heart. I've never been saved. Well, good news. You can take care of that right now. Pray with me. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I understand today that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask that your precious blood would now cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself completely to you. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Oh, praise God. If you prayed that prayer from the heart, you are now a child of God. What you need to do is find a good Bible-believing teaching church, get immersed in water, it's called baptism, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and prophesying. You need to become a true disciple of Jesus, growing in the Word, allowing God to reveal his purpose and plan for your life and begin to walk in it and have fellowship with other believers. And God will show you what he has in mind for your life. And it's so exciting. It is the awesome adventure of your life. Amen. So to be strong in the Lord, we'll need to say you got to be born again, but it all comes out of that union with him. Remember, you're as close to God as you want to be. If you want to be closer to God, you have to spend more time with him and cultivate intimacy with God through his son Jesus. So number one is our union with him. And notice here it says here in that verse, draw your strength. You need to understand something so exciting. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, grace in that passage literally means unmerited favor. In other words, we're not saved by anything we can say, do, think. We're sinners. We're without hope. Jesus is our hope. So it's by unmerited favor. Jesus paid for our salvation. He lived the sinlessly perfect life. He died on the cross and shed his blood. He rose again the third day. Salvation is a gift of God, just like the passage says, not of works. And you'll never deserve it. You just receive it by faith, repenting of your sins. But grace is not only for just getting saved. God makes available grace every day for whatever it is he's asking you to do. Let me just show that to you in the Word of God. Remember Paul, one of the great men of God, was describing how he became so great as far as following God? In 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You see, another definition of grace, grace is so big. It's not just in unmerited favor, it's divine enablement. In other words, it's power to live the Christian life. God offers you grace to do his will, and that actually gives you the strength, the wherewithal to do the will of God. Isn't that exciting? It is by grace. Grace is one of the most magnificent things in the Bible. Remember when Paul was talking to young Timothy over here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1? He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You see, in other words, learn how to recognize and receive the grace of God to do whatever it is God is showing you to do through His Word and by His Holy Spirit. So grace is not just unmerited favor. It's divine enablement that equips you and enables you to do God's will. So that's number two. Number three is the Holy Spirit. Now, the grace of God and the Holy Spirit go hand in hand. One of my favorite Bible teachers is Derek Prince. He's gone on to be with the Lord. I just love that man of God. And he said this, and I agree 100%. He said, "All the wealth of the Father and of the Son is distributed by the Holy Spirit." And then he says, "Make friends with the Holy Spirit." I agree with that. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead. It's not an it. He's not a thing. He's a person. He's God. And He now lives in your spirit man now that you're born again. And He equips you and enables you to do God's will. Remember, the grace of God comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a person. Develop intimacy with the Holy Spirit. How important is the Holy Spirit? Well, Galatians 5:22-23 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit, "is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness." See, godly character comes through the Holy Spirit, cultivating that with us. And also, there's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of gifts, but I want to just mention nine. In 1 Corinthians 12, it tells us there's the gift of prophecy, discerning of spirits, workings of miracles, gifts of healing, gift of faith, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, diversity of tongues, interpretation of tongues. These are all gifts, divine enablements, that the Holy Spirit gives to believers. And you notice the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, to covet earnestly the best gifts. So the Holy Spirit empowers us so that we can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know, some of the very last words of Jesus were Acts 1:8. "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." The person of the Holy Spirit empowers us. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, to control you. In fact, that's just to be as normal as breathing. What do you mean by that? Let's go over to Galatians 5:16-18. Paul says this, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you could not do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." Now remember, from Adam we inherited a fallen nature. We call it our flesh. Even though once we get saved, by faith we crucify that flesh and reckon it dead because Jesus did that for us, still that flesh tries to rise up. The devil tempts us through our flesh. The world system controlled by Satan is telling us things and appealing to things of the fallen nature that are sinful. So the world, the flesh, and the devil, you might say, are our enemies that we have to contend with. But now that we're born again and we have the Holy Spirit within us, we can now begin to yield to the Holy Spirit, say no to the devil, and walk in the power of God. And that's what God wants. And He gives you the grace. He gives you the Holy Spirit. You are in union with Jesus now, so that means you can be strong and you can obey God and do what He tells you to do. Amen? Let's go to number four, the Word of God. You knew we'd say the Word of God, didn't you? Remember what Jesus said in John 17:17? He says, "Sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth." You see, the Word of God, sanctification, means to be set apart or made holy. Once we get saved, we are sanctified, but also sanctification is a process whereby we are molded into the image of His Son Jesus. Because, you know, when you get saved, God didn't press the delete button in your mind. You have a lot of old ways of thinking and doing things. Now that you're saved and have the mind of Christ and the life of Christ, as you study God's Word and pray, God begins to show you things in your life that aren't right, different ways of thinking and looking at things. There's some things you used to do, you think, well, I can't do that. The Bible says not to do that. So through the renewing of your mind and as you walk with the Lord, you are progressively being made into the image of His Son Jesus. It's an ongoing process that takes place in every believer who is walking with the Lord. So we see we desperately need the Word of God. In fact, Paul tells us, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And remember, the Bible is the truth. It's all truth. It's written by men who were inspired and directed by the Holy Spirit, and it is the living Word of God. In fact, it's the Holy Spirit, as you read it, who helps that Word of God come alive. Amen? Remember, if you put it in, the Holy Spirit will help to bring it out. Remember that scripture over here in John 14:26? Jesus said, when He was sending the Holy Spirit, He said, He will bring all things to remembrance what I have spoken. In other words, the Holy Spirit will remind us of the things that Jesus has spoken. If we've read the things of Jesus, if we've read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can remind us at just the right time and enable us to obey God and walk in victory and defeat the devil on a daily basis. Amen. But we have to have the Word of God within us. In fact, let's go over here. That we see that was one of the secrets of the early church. Notice over here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. He says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. Notice this. And the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Why were they strong and able to overcome the wicked one? Because the Word of God was within them. They studied God's Word. They meditated on God's Word. Remember over in the book of Joshua, God told Joshua to meditate upon the Word day and night. In other words, not just read the Bible, then think about what you've just read and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to have greater understanding of the things you have received. Amen. In your Bible study and Bible reading time, and as well as you go to church and hear good messages or even tapes that people make that are biblical. It's so exciting. The Holy Spirit makes the Word of God come alive, and He'll remind us of the things that we've placed within us, and it will help us at just the right time so we can know what to do and often what not to do. The Word of God helps us know what is right and what is wrong. Amen. That's our standard for living, is the Word of God. In fact, let's just go over here for a minute to the book of Matthew. Remember Jesus? He was tempted of the devil. Remember, every believer is tempted of the devil. And I mean, not necessarily the devil, but his demons, his imps, his fallen army are around us also trying to seduce us into sin. But here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward a-hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, the tempter is Satan, He said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And He answered and said, It is written. See, He quoted the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, which means Old and New Testament. Amen. So when you're tempted, when those thoughts come into your mind and the Holy Spirit lets you recognize that's not from God, that's not good, that's sinful, that's lustful, that's ungodly, that's unrighteous, then you deal with that. You recognize that's the devil putting that thought, and you say, get thee hence, Satan, it is written. And then you stand on the promise of God. That's how Jesus defeated Satan in temptation, and that's how we need to defeat Satan too. But you've got to have the Word of God within you. And because if you don't, oftentimes you can get seduced because, you know, remember, God said in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. You know, if there's things you don't understand from the Word of God, Satan can try to seduce you in those areas and get you tempted and thinking it's okay to do something that is sinful and contrary to God's will and purpose for your life. And remember, we're all growing in our understanding of the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit is faithful to convict us, as the Bible said in John 16, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. In fact, you know, I've prayed before. I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, please make me aware when I'm thinking any thought that is contrary to the will of God. Remember, you don't sin unless you've thought about it first. That's just the truth. So Holy Spirit, convict me, show me, make me aware when I'm entertaining any thought, word, deed, or anything that's contrary to God's will. And God will be faithful to do it. But then once he does it, you've got to be faithful then to exercise your faith. And see, that's what Jesus did. Jesus just didn't blow the devil off. He exercised his faith and came back at him and told him to get out of here and then said what God said. So we need to exercise our faith. We get the Word of God in us, and then we speak it out and declare what God says and thinks about things. And that's so important. So if we're going to be strong, the Bible tells us we have to have the Word of God within us. In fact, we really need to do like God told Joshua, to meditate upon it day and night. Remember, the Word of God will never lead you into error. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, I don't really believe there's little demons or imps out there that try to tempt us and get us to believe and do wrong things. Well, you've not read your Bible. Let me prove that to you. Over here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, the Holy Spirit, that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, talking about the body of revealed truth that makes up the Word of God. How would they do that? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Did you hear that? Now, little demons can whisper in your ear and tempt you. They can do it through what people say, that they're inspiring to say wrong things. They can do it through false literature and false books. Remember, don't ever go to any church that has a book that they exalt more than the Bible, okay? Remember, you don't want to ever get involved with Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Islam, or any false religion, because you will be guilty of serving false gods and be guilty of idolatry before God. Remember, those are false groups. They don't serve the Jesus Christ of the Bible. They serve one, in fact, they just don't serve Jesus because it's tainted. In other words, they don't believe the right things about Jesus. In fact, some of those groups believe they are actually becoming God. They believe the lie that Satan said in the garden. Can you believe that? It's unbelievable, but we don't have time to go into that. But I tell you, stay away from false groups. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you, and he'll always do it in accordance with the Word of God. So you've got to test those thoughts and the things you hear, even on TV, radio, no matter what it is, it got to line up with the Word of God. So stay away from those false groups. Okay. But if you're strong, you'll know, and you won't be deceived by them. Also, the blood of Jesus. Oh, there's nothing more precious than the blood of Jesus. If you've studied your Bible at all, you know when you got saved, the precious blood of Jesus cleanses you from all your sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your blood. But notice what I read in Revelation chapter 12. And they overcame him, Satan. How? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. There's protection with the blood of Jesus. Remember back in the Old Testament when God was sending the death angel to destroy the firstborn of the Egyptians? He had them put the blood of a lamb over the doorpost. And when that death angel saw the blood of the lamb, it passed by. I tell you, there's protection in the blood of Jesus. You plead the blood of Jesus. In fact, I plead the blood of Jesus as cover and protection over me and my family, my church, over our entire being, spirit, soul, body, mind, will, emotions, and over everything God's given me and put in my stewardship. I tell you, there's protection. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Even more than what we understand, there's power in the blood of Jesus, and it defeats Satan. Speak about the blood. I tell you, you'll get a reaction from people you talk about the blood of Jesus, because if there's any demons in them, that'll stir them up good. Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus is powerful. How do you become strong? Through the blood of Jesus. Not only the blood of Jesus, but through prayer. Again, how do you talk to God? You pray. You know, you realize how important prayer is when you get over here in the Old Testament. Looking here at the book of Ezekiel, I want to go over there for just a minute. Chapter 22, verse 30. God says this, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." Now, what did God say? He was looking for a person who would pray and stand in the gap so he didn't have to send judgment on a nation. See the power of prayer? But no one was wooing. No one was listening to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. God tried to find some people to pray, but they were too busy, or they said no. Don't ever say no to God. If God's leading you to pray for a person or do something, do it. It could keep that person out of judgment because of your intercession. And God can have mercy on them, and they'll have more time maybe to get their lives right with God or get saved. It's so important, prayer. If you're going to be strong, you're going to have to spend time in prayer. Remember, prayer is talking to God. Just like, you know, the divorce rate is over 50%. Why? Husbands and wives are not communicating. They're not taking time to get to know each other, talk about their day, and develop intimacy like they should, and their marriages fall apart. How much more our relationship with God? We have to spend time with God in His Word and in prayer to get to know Him, to love on Him, to find out how He thinks about things, to talk to Him about our day and what's going on, to seek direction for our future. Prayer is powerful. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." What are we to do to be strong? Watch and pray. And that leads us to number 7, proclamation. I like that Psalm 107:2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You know, it's so important that you speak the word of God out loud, over yourself, over your family. I think it's important to pray out loud. You know, it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think sometimes you need to get noisy. You need to shout out loud what you're praying and believing God for, standing on His promises. You need to be bold. You need to be willing to proclaim the things of God and never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. So what have we said today? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:10, God says, "Be strong," which means you can be strong, which also means God expects you to be strong, which means you're going to need to be strong, especially in 2012, in the day we live in. And how do we get strong? Number 1, out of our union with Him, not just getting saved, but walking in daily intimacy with Him. Number 2, recognizing the grace of God is available moment by moment and receiving that grace. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit. Cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit and walk in His power. The Word of God. Remember, you must get the Word in you, and the Holy Spirit will bring that forth in your life. Also, the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus. Tell people about the blood of Jesus. Then sixthly, prayer. And 7, proclamations. These are all things that will help you to truly be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. God bless you.
This broadcast is made possible by our faithful partners in the ministry outreach of Bethel Worship Center in Joplin, Missouri. If you have been blessed by Pastor Gary Culp's teaching and would like to know more about our ministry, feel free to visit our website at eaministries.net. That's eaministries.net.